Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, Prahlad instructs his demoniac schoolmates. Text 20 to 23. And we have the first verse on the board, so we'll read that together. Paravareshu Bhuteshu Brahmanta Stavardashtishu Bhotikeshu Vikareshu Bhuteshu Ata Mahatsu Cha Paravareshu Bhuteshu Brahmanta Stavaradishu Bhautikeshu Vikareshu Bhuteshvatha Mahatsucha Paravareshu Bhuteshu Brahmanta Stavaradishu Bhautikeshu Vikareshu Bhuteshvata Mahatsucha Paravareshu Bhuteshu Brahmantasthavaradishu Bhautikeshu Vikareshu Bhuteshvata Mahatsucha Messages. Mahatsucha. So there's a couple, actually there are a few other verses. I'll read them, and then we'll do the word for word. Guneshu guna samyecha guna vyati karetata eka eva paro yatma bhagavan ishvaro vaya pratyag atma sorupena drishya rupena chusvayam vyapya vyapaka nirdesho yan nirdesho vikalpitaha kabala nu bhavananda svarupa parameshvara Mayayantar Hitaisvarya Iyate Gunasargyaya. So this is very, this is a lot of word for word here. I'll just read the translation and the purport. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life. From the inner living beings, sthavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being, he is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy and the modes of material nature, sattvagun, rajagun, and tamagun, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental supersoul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cores of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading supersoul, but actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the Supreme Satchit Ananda, eternality, knowledge, and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy to the atheist, he appears non-existent. Purport. Not only is the Supreme Personality of Godhead present as the supersoul of all living entities, at the same time he pervades everything in the entire creation. He exists in all circumstances and at all times. He exists in the heart of Lord Brahma and also in the cores of the hearts of the hogs, dogs, trees, plants, and so on. He is present everywhere. He is present not only in the heart of the living entity, but also in material things, even in the atoms, protons, and electrons being explored by material science. The Lord is present in three features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Because he is present everywhere, he is described as Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Vishnu exists beyond Brahman. Bhagavad Gita confirms that Krishna, by his Brahman feature, is all-pervading. Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam. But Brahman depends upon Krishna. Brahmano hi Pratistham. Without Krishna, there could be no existence of Brahman or Paramatma. Therefore, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the ultimate realization of the Absolute Truth. Although he is present as the Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart, he is nonetheless one, either as an individual or as the all-pervading Brahman. The supreme cause is Krishna, and devotees who have surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can realize him and his presence within the universe and within the atom. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. This realization is possible only for devotees who have fully surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord. For others, it is not possible. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Daivi hesa guna mai mama maya duratiya mamiviye papadyante mayamitam tarantite. The process of surrender in the devotional service, in a devotional attitude, is accepted by a fortunate living being. After wandering through many varieties of life on many planetary systems, when one comes to the real understanding of the Absolute Truth by the grace of a devotee, one surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Bahunam janmanam bhante jnanavan mampabhajate. Prahlad Maharaj's class friends, who were born of Daitya families, thought that realizing the Absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, we have experienced that many, many people say this very thing. Actually, however, this is not so. The Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord or to realize him is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only in the association of devotees. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami, said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 19.151, Brahmanda, Brahmite Kon, Bhagyavanji, Guru Krishna Pasade Pai, Bhakti Lata Beach. The living entity in the material condition wanders throughout or through many varieties of life and many varieties of circumstances. But if he comes in contact with a pure devotee and is intelligent enough to take instructions from the pure devotee regarding the process of devotional service, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of Brahman and Paramatma without difficulty. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya says, Antaryami Pratyagatma Vyapta Kalo Hari Smrita Prakritya Tamasha Vrityavat Harir Aishvaryam Nagyayate. The Lord is present as Antaryami in everyone's heart and is visible in the individual soul covered by the material body. Indeed, he is everywhere at every time and every condition. But because he is covered by the curtain of the material energy, to an ordinary person, there appears to be no God. Om Yanatam Anandasya. Gyananjana Salagya Chakshuram Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Krotavachalang Pangun Langhayate Grim Yat Kripa Taraham Mande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vancha Kalpa Tuvyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Paditanam Pavani Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that the living entity is wandering through different species of life, different planetary systems, higher planetary system, lower planetary system. And if one is very fortunate, then he comes in contact with a pure devotee of the Lord. And from him he receives the bhakti lata bij, or the seed of devotional service. We're all very fortunate. Somehow we have received this seed of devotional service. And it's not that we just get the seed and, all right, we got it. No, we have to water the seed of devotional service by Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam. It's like hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is a very nice way to water this seed, chanting the holy name, associating with the devotees. In this way, the seed is watered and it grows. Prabhupada mentions that. Actually, it's in the Lord Chaitanya, he mentions that as this plant grows, this creeper of devotional service, it grows and grows and it penetrates the coverings of the universe and goes to the spiritual world, the lotus feet of Krishna. It's a transcendental creeper. So this is the goal, is to water this creeper of devotional service and attain love for Krishna. And the result of this is that we'll be able to see Krishna, as Prabhupada mentions in this purport, the devotees of the Lord, they see Krishna everywhere. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamaya pashtim. Yomam pashati sarvatra sarvam chamaya pashtim. Tashyaham na parashati satchmenam phanashati. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So this is the pure devotee. One time there was an interview, Srila Prabhupada, one, I think it was a newspaper interview. And this newspaper interviewer, he asked Prabhupada, "Do you see God?" And Prabhupada replied, "Yes, I see God." And Rameshwar Prabhu was there, and he said, "Well, he sees God in his different energies." And Prabhupada said, "No, I see God directly." And both of them like backed up, like, "Whoa, this is no ordinary person here." So this is the pure devotee. Srila Prabhupada is seeing Krishna. And it's natural, actually, to see God, because we're part of God. And just like a magnet, it's natural for a magnet to be attracted to iron. Intense attraction there. So it's natural for us to be attracted to Krishna. But the problem is that there's dirt covering the soul. So therefore we're not attracted. Yeah. The so-called relationships in this world, they're not natural. And therefore there's so much frustration, there's so much divorce, there's so much calamity in relationships in this world. So what we're trying to do in Krishna consciousness is establish this very natural relationship with Krishna and go back to him. It's so natural that just like children, they naturally have an affection to chant Hare Krishna and dance and also hear about Krishna. It's just very natural for the soul. It's just when we get older, then that's when the problem, our mental conceptions and misunderstandings take place. So it's very natural to be attracted to Krishna. Why? Because he's Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha, eternality, knowledge, and bliss. And we are also. We're eternal. There's one purport. Prabhupada says that by knowledge of both the soul and the super soul, one can relish the nectar of life and taste the eternal. Beautiful little statement there. By knowledge of both the soul and the super soul, one can relish the nectar of life. Just by that knowledge, just having knowledge that I'm the soul, I'm not the body, I'm part of Krishna. The super soul, who is all-pervading, everywhere. Sarvasya chaham hridhisthana vistu. Matasmatya jnana mapohanam cha. Vedais cha saveraham ayurvedya. Vedantakrit vedavit eva chaham. Krishna says that I am seated in the hearts of all living entities, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. I'm the compiler of Vedanta, the knower of the Vedas. So this is the position of Krishna. He gives remembrance and forgetfulness. It's like I was speaking to one student a few weeks ago. And he got a Bhagavad Gita from me 3 years previous. And he didn't read it for a year. But then somehow he had this mystical experience, and he was kind of like told to read the Bhagavad Gita. And as he was reading it, he was thinking, this is the truth. This is the highest truth. And he was just so impressed with the Bhagavad Gita. He stayed up all night reading the Gita. And he said he didn't even feel tired. Stayed up all night reading it. And then he finished the book within a few days. So now he chants Hare Krishna. And he said it just felt so natural to serve Krishna, to think of Krishna. This is due to past lives. Krishna is reminding him. And many of us also, we just heard a little bit, and then, okay, yeah, that makes sense. It's like Ratna Bhushan, he was telling me how he came to Krishna consciousness. He was reading the Gita, and yeah, just the same thing with him. It just seemed very natural. Just everything about it, being vegetarian, just made sense. So this is for some people, it's so clear. But for others, it just doesn't make sense at all. I remember meeting one lady at the university, she had gotten a Bhagavad Gita from me also, and she said she was reading one paragraph. She said, I read it 6 times, and I couldn't make heads or tails of it. I couldn't understand it at all. Prabhupada was given a lecture one time, and he was speaking on the Bhagavad Gita, and then at the end of the class, he asked, is there any questions? There's a large group of students, maybe 50 students, and no one raised their hand. And Prabhupada said in the microphone, meatheads. You're eating too much meat, it's hard to understand. You know, spiritual subject matter. So that was Prabhupada's reply, meatheads. So this boy that got a Bhagavad Gita from me, I met him a few weeks ago again, and he was so happy. He came up to me, he said, my friend, I've been looking for you for years. I got the Bhagavad Gita from you. I'm reading it. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. I'm a devotee of Krishna. It's so nice to see you again. I was very happy to see him also after hearing that. So I said, well, listen, you know, I have more books here if you want to learn more about Krishna. I had about 6 books there. He said, I'll take all of them. And he gave $100. Yeah. So I was thinking, wow, this person's amazing. So as we were talking, some of his friends were walking by the table. And he told his friends, hey, guys, check out these books here at the table. So I was showing them the books, and they were buying books also. And sometimes his friends that were looking at the books, they said, well, you know, I'm really interested, but I don't have any money. And so his friends standing there, don't worry, I'll pay for it. So he was buying books for them. That happened a few times. They didn't have any money. Well, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. So he was giving more. So this guy completely amazing. So then it turns out that he's also in charge of festivals at this university. So I tell him, you know, we have a whole festival of India. We could bring it here to campus. And his jaw almost hit the ground. He's like, you got a festival of India? Just couldn't believe it. I said, yeah, we could bring it here. You could bring it here? He's like completely excited. You know? So we were there last week. So it was just a few days ago. Yeah, it was very ecstatic. So many people came and were taking books. And Ratna Bhushan, of course, was in ecstasy. So many people that we distribute books to, they're just very, very attracted to them right from the beginning. So Chris is reminding them that you have some interest in this. So these are the people that we're searching for. There's ripe souls out there that are searching for Krishna. So we just have to somehow make ourselves available. You know, just like we're having this marathon, Prabhupada marathon. It's very auspicious. Prabhupada was so happy when large numbers of books would be distributed. Very happy. He said he wanted that this whole planet become covered with his books. He saw one sign, it was Sinclair Paints, and the advertisement was, there was this Sinclair paint was being poured on the whole planet. The whole planet was being covered by this paint. And Prabhupada looked at it and said, this is what we want. We want the whole planet to be covered with Bhaktivedanta books. So we've distributed about 500 million books so far. We have a lot more to go. And right here in Los Angeles, we have 15,000 more Bhagavad Gitas to be distributed. So it's a... Huh? No, we've done 5. 15,000 more. So 15,000 more. It's a nice mission that we have, which is very pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And if we can please Srila Prabhupada, then yasya prasadat bhagava prasadat, then Krishna is pleased. And we're satisfied. The super soul is satisfied if we can also please the spiritual master. Yeah. So here, Prabhupada's talking a lot about the super soul. And there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna expresses this also. Upadrishtanu mantacha bharta bhokta maheshvara paramatmekti chapyukto dehesmim purusha paraha. He says, within this body, there's another transcendental enjoyer who is the Lord, who is the supreme proprietor. He is the overseer and he's the permitter. And he is known as the super soul. So he is the transcendental enjoyer. We are britya, means we're servants. And Krishna, he's bhokta, he's the enjoyer. So our natural position is to serve Krishna. But what's interesting is also Krishna takes his greatest pleasure is in serving his devotees also. So Krishna also likes to serve his devotees. There's one pastime of Jayadev Goswami. He was writing some scripture and the thought came to his mind that Krishna becomes the servant of Srimati Radharani. But then he was thinking, but he's God, he's the Supreme Lord. How does he become the servant? So it just didn't sit right. So he thought, well, let me bathe and, you know, just meditate on a while and then come back and see how it is. So he left the house and told his wife, I'm going to go bathe, I'll be back, take a prasad. So he left, and after a short time, Jayadev came back and he went into his room, wrote something, came back, took prasad, then he stepped out again. And then when Jayadev came back, the real Jayadev, he saw that his wife was honoring prasadam. And he said to her, my dear wife, you've never done this before. We've been married so long, you've never honored prasadam before me. And she looked at him quizzically, what do you mean? You just took prasad. I don't think I took prasad. So then she said, no, you just came here, you know, 15 minutes ago. You went into your room, you said you're going to write something, you came back, you honored prasad, then you stepped out again. So then he was really quizzical, what's going on? So he went into his room, and written in golden letters, Krishna becomes the servant of Srimati Radharani. So then he went back to his wife and said, you know, that wasn't me. That was Krishna. He came and he wrote in my book in golden letters, you made prasadam for Krishna and now you're honoring his remnants. Is there any left? So Krishna becomes the servant of his devotees also. He likes to serve his devotees. Yeah, just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just before, you know, he was playing the part of a scholar in the beginning. But then, after going to Gaya and meeting his spiritual master, he became a devotee. So he went back and he was the humble, menial servant of his devotees. He was washing their clothes and cooking for them and, you know, cleaning their, you know, just being a menial servant. He was in the Bhakta program, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very happy. He liked that. So everyone is Britya. Everyone is the servant. You know? Of course, we don't want Krishna to serve us. We want to serve Krishna with a selfless mood, just trying to please Krishna. This is what gives pleasure to the soul. And what's really amazing is that Krishna, although he's the greatest, anybody can have a relationship with him. He's the wealthiest, he's the strongest, he's the most intelligent. It's like on this planet, there's somebody that's the wealthiest person on the planet. I think Carlos Helu, I believe. The wealthiest person on the planet. So you try to have a relationship with him. Go and try to have a relationship with him. Good luck. Right? So many bodyguards and so many alarms and can't get close to him. Right? Or the most famous person. like the Queen of England or something. Try to go have a relationship with her. Good luck. But Krishna, he is the most famous. He's the wealthiest. He's the most intelligent. And anybody can have a very, very intimate relationship with him. So this is Krishna, just like Sudama. Poor Brahmana. Just so poor. Didn't even have enough to eat. No money at all. So his wife knew that, he had some relationship with Krishna. So he said, you could go and just ask for a little. He's your friend. So he went there. So poor. But he was allowed to go right into Krishna's palace. How many palaces? 16,108 palaces. And these weren't like these dinky little mansions over here in Hollywood Hills. These are huge mansions, just unbelievable. Ivory chairs and marble everywhere and onyx and just unbelievable opulence. So he was allowed to go there. And Krishna welcomed him and treated him so nicely. They offered artik to him, everything, worshipped him. So here's someone so poor, but Krishna's treating him like God practically. So much respect. Why? Because he was a humble servant of Krishna. Yavache hiya dhanyam maichacha sthayam etitad. Narada Muni, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he says, an intelligent person will cultivate utter humility in his speech, in his thoughts, and in his actions. And anything that gets in the way of that, one should reject. So I was thinking about this verse. On how can you cultivate humility with our thoughts, with our words, with our actions. So I thought maybe we could open this up a little bit. How can we cultivate humility in these different areas? Anybody like to say? We have our senior Vaishnavas here. Yes, Amala Bhakti Prabhu. Okay, this verse by Lord Chaitanya. For those of you on the internet, Amala Bhakti Prabhu gave a very nice answer. That one should think oneself lower than the straw in the street. If we're thinking that we're lower than the straw in the street, then this also comes out within our speech and in our actions. So it begins with thinking. This is the subtlest. So if we're thinking that we're insignificant, that we're not very important, that we're low, then it's easier to speak in a humble way and to act in a humble way. So it begins with thinking. Can we get the microphone there, Omkar, for Archita Prabhu?
Bhagavad Gita, chapter 13, text 8 through 12.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Starts out, Amanitam, Adambitvam.
Oh, yeah. Humility, yes.
Yeah, so Prabhupada gives the definition there. And it's based on knowledge. It's like if you went to visit this Carlos Slim Halo that you mentioned as the wealthiest man in the world. So if you're an average person, if you go there pretending that you're wealthy, it just doesn't work. It's acknowledge this guy's the wealthiest guy on the planet. So, you just have to be your, who you are and just relax. So it's the same thing. If you're based on knowledge, if you understand that Krishna owns everything, everything belongs to him. So, how can you puff yourself up? Because even when it comes to being humble, you can become puffed up. Once one devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. So we walk around thinking that, first we think we're the greatest, and then we think I am the smallest. And no, you're not the anything. Just be relaxed and be a servant of Krishna. So that's based on knowledge. If you really understand Krishna's position by hearing from somebody who knows Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, then you can actually be really humble, knowing that you don't own anything, you're not capable of anything unless Krishna gives you the capability. Then you can really be humble. It has to be based on knowledge.
Yes. If we're remembering the greatness of Krishna, then it's easy to be humble. Yeah. If we forget Krishna and we start thinking that we're great, then it'll be hard to be humble. Yeah. And that's the problem. We forget Krishna. And then we start, thinking of our abilities. So therefore that's that famous statement. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. The most important instruction. This helps us to be humble. Prabhupada mentions in her purport that humility means not desiring the satisfaction of being honored by others. Yeah, this is one of the big desires that living entities have in this world, is to be honored by others. And therefore Lord Chaitanya says, "Nad dhanam, nad janam." I don't want followers. I don't want wealth. I don't want sense gratification. This is another thing. As conditioned souls, we want sense gratification, which is directly opposed, diametrically opposed to natural life, which is devotional service to Krishna. So we have to also understand that there's no happiness in sense gratification. Again, knowledge. We have to have this knowledge that there is no happiness in sense gratification. It's lada tapakari, which means that whatever we desire, whatever material thing we desire in this world, that very thing that we're trying to enjoy will be the cause of suffering. That's the nature of material existence. That very thing we're trying to enjoy will be the cause of suffering. But if we engage in devotional service, in the beginning it may be a little bitter, but it becomes sweeter and sweeter in the end. Material sense gratification is like nectar in the beginning, then bitter in the end. Opposed, diametrically opposed. So this humility has to be cultivated. And this is what pleases Krishna. He says, "I'm conquered and overwhelmed by pure loving devotion and humility." Anybody else like to say anything about? Yes, microphone is just now coming to Karna Dharani Devi Dasi.
I remember from that purport that Archita Prabhu was mentioning is that Prabhupada says in the purport that all the good qualities are knowledge, and he says that anything besides this is ignorance. So if we're not humble, then we're actually in ignorance. We're not understanding. I mean, we're just a little tiny spirit soul, and we're trapped in this body which causes us so much distress, and we have a potential to cause so much distress to other people and they to us, and it's a very humbling experience just living in this body. Just thinking, and some time back I got this idea that one of the problems I was having in devotional service is for not being humble is I'm always thinking about how other people should be doing their service and how this should be like this and that should be like that. So I put a mantra on my wall and it says, "It's not my service." And I look at that mantra every day, and it's very humbling, and it's very empowering, because once you realize what's not your service, then you start to think about what is your service. and that empowers you. That gives you the ability to do what you're supposed to do in life, and that's being humble. It's bottom line,
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, as soon as we start thinking also that we're this body, then it's hard to be humble. On my mirror, I have a statement. I have written, "This is not me." As soon as we start thinking that we're the body, then how can there be humility, right? because you know, we were thinking that we're the doer, we're the controller. So this realization, again, knowledge that we're the soul within, we're part of Krishna, we're servants of Krishna. You know, this also helps us to cultivate this humility. We're very small, 1/10,000th size of a tip of a hair. Prabhupada also said, you reminded me of this statement, Prabhupada said that the soul is embarrassed to be in the material body. Because the material body is just a lump, it's just a lump of matter. A lump of ignorance, as we have in that prayer. Right? It's just a lump of ignorance, a lump of matter. But we think that the word, this lump, is just, it's embarrassing. You know, there's so much ignorance and so much unhappiness. It's temporary. Smells. You know? So it's very embarrassing. Anything else? Or any question about the class? Or anybody else like to say anything? Oh! Many of you know this Bhakti Emmanuel. He's coming every Sunday now. He's coming this Sunday also. And he's just like... He's getting 20 Bhagavad Gitas from me to give to all his friends. He's already gotten a lot of books for his other friends. But he's got a lot of friends. So he's just like... He's really, really, really enthusiastic to spread Krishna consciousness at this university. And I took him to the museum, and he was just like blown away, him and his fiance. Even though half of it isn't working properly. He said, Vijay, my determination is I'm going to get this thing fixed. I'm going to make some money. I'm going to fix that thing, because I know that if it was really working, you know, top notch, it'd be amazing. And he's right, because it's a blow. I met one guy in the airport 15 years ago. He said, you know, I've been to Disneyland, I've been to Knott's Berry Farm, I've been to all the different places in L.A., but your museum blew everything away. I was shocked. Because there's also, it's not just entertainment, but there's wisdom, which makes it very attractive. So... Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.